You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Why Must I Suffer? Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Draw us to Thee, begins the prayer of a well-known Christian hymn. Draw us to Thee, for then shall we walk in Thy steps forever, and hasten on where Thou art gone to be with Thee, dear Savior. But why should the Lord draw us to Himself? Why should He bother with you and me, especially when we consider our problems? After all, do you delight in being with people who are hurting? Probably not. But the Lord does. He has no greater delight than to draw us with all our problems unto Himself. And why? Because the Lord is merciful. Let me tell you, to say that the Lord is merciful means much more than that the Lord only looks down from heaven and simply feels sorry for us with our problems. If that were the case, we might very well say, Thanks, God. I appreciate your sympathy, but I need more than pity now. I need you to do something to help me. I mean, really, what good would it do us in our problems if God only felt sorry for us? How is your suffering going to be alleviated if God doesn't really do something to help you? Mercy has to mean more than sympathy. God, don't just sit up there, do something, is what we cry to the Lord in our times of suffering. And doing something is precisely what the merciful Lord does. He draws people to Himself. His draw, His appeal, is through the forgiveness of sins. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 32, Once I have been lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to Myself. He's talking there about the cross. The cross outside the city of Jerusalem where He was punished by His Father for the sins of the world. That cross is like a center of gravity for hurting sinners. When we know the reason for the crucifixion, when we believe that Christ suffered there so that we are now fully forgiven, then God is drawing us to Himself by the gravity of the cross. That is mercy from God. Mercy that in the midst of suffering, He draws us to Himself. But why must I suffer? That question cannot be answered in a totally satisfactory way. Suffering is in the world because sin is in the world. If there were no sin, there would be no suffering. Sin and suffering is the common lot of humanity. Yet that doesn't fully explain why some of us who are Christ-believing, pious, prayerful, and repentant sinners experience extreme suffering. The Bible does tell us whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. And yet that doesn't answer every specific of the times when we hurt. Now, if we can't answer the specifics of suffering, we know that we can ask God for Jesus' sake to help us in our sufferings. We ask Him to draw us through our times of suffering and ever closer to Himself. He promises to do exactly that. Psalm 34, verses 17 through 19 have these words of assurance. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their cry. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. That's the way it is for us who are drawn to God by the cross. We know that we can count on our merciful God, and therefore we call upon him to help us. Lord, have mercy upon us. That little prayer from the worship of the church sums it all up. Dear Lord, we don't fully understand our suffering, but we know that because of what Jesus did, you won't just sit up there feeling sorry for us. You are doing something to help us. Lord, have mercy upon us. This little prayer is addressed to the Lord, because he is the one who draws us through our suffering to be ever closer to himself. Sometimes he draws us in ways we could never imagine, and thereby he proves again that in all things he is working for good to us who love him. Let me give you an illustration that you probably won't believe. But then again, sometimes we have trouble believing that God shows us mercy in our suffering until we look back and realize that he did indeed help us. On the western side of the state of Michigan, sitting right on the eastern shore of Lake Michigan, sits the little town of Arcadia. If you take Highway M22 north out of Arcadia for a few miles, you'll come to Joyfield Road. Turn right at Joyfield Road and drive a few more miles until you come to a church. Turn right at that church and go a few hundred yards to the bottom of the hill. Now you're thinking, why in the world is he giving us directions to some place in Michigan? Because what I'm going to tell you is really true. I'm not making this up. I've seen it with my own eyes. You get to the bottom of that hill, you put your car in neutral, and the car will roll uphill several hundred yards back to the church. This is true. The people in the area call it Gravity Hill because it seems to defy gravity. A car in neutral will roll uphill. Now, I don't know why this happens. Is there some strange aberration in the Earth's gravity? Is it an optical illusion? If it is, it's a good one. It's kind of like suffering. I don't know why suffering always happens. And I can't give a scientific explanation of Gravity Hill. All I know is that a car in neutral seems to roll uphill. You can go check it out for yourself. Now, I'm telling you this to illustrate the prayer, Lord, have mercy upon us. Just as the car is drawn up the hill, the church prays to the merciful Lord to draw us to himself. Mercy is about relationship. In the Old Testament, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He would be their God, and they would be his people. When the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were suffering in Egypt, the Lord had mercy. He didn't just feel sorry for them, but he delivered them with his mighty hand and outstretched arm. The sign of this covenant, this relationship, was circumcision. We ask the Lord for mercy because we have a relationship with him. By the gospel and baptism, he has drawn us to believe in him. He has worked in us the belief that we have been delivered from the slavery of sin, death, and the devil by the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through this gospel, the Holy Spirit draws us like the car drawn up Gravity Hill. That means that when we're suffering, we want to steer straight and keep our thoughts directed toward our Lord. It certainly isn't wrong to use doctors, counselors, and other professionals who can help us in our suffering. God would not have commanded good works if he didn't want people to benefit from good works. In our suffering, we can benefit from others. But you do wrong to rely on the helpers more than on the Lord. That's why I said that when you're suffering, steer straight. Keep your thoughts directed toward your merciful Lord. There were four of us at Gravity Hill, Diane and I, daughter Katie, and her friend Carrie. Now, Carrie and Katie were both learning how to drive. so I invited Carrie to get behind the wheel and guide the car up the hill. She did, no problem. Next, it was Katie's turn. God love her. Katie is developing the instincts of driving, but she doesn't have them down pat. So when the car started to veer off the road toward the ditch, she had to think, which way do I turn the wheel to stay on the road? It's an instinct you have to develop, which way to turn the wheel to stay on the road. In our times of suffering, you and I need to steer our thoughts straight to the Lord of mercy. Deuteronomy 6 verse 5 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." 1 Peter 1:21 says, "Your faith and hope are in God." Steer straight and remember the brake. When we got to the top of Gravity Hill, Katie steered into the church parking lot and was heading toward the church. "Step on the brake," we shouted. Bless her heart. Katie looked down to try and find the brake. Fortunately, she found it, and we didn't hit the church. Braking is another instinct she has to develop. The road of mercy requires that we hit the brakes any time that the devil uses our suffering to tempt us to sin. Psalm 34, verses 11 through 14 says, "Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." When you're suffering, you may be tempted to despair. "There's no hope," you think. Wrongly. The Christian always has hope, because we have a God of mercy. When you're suffering, you may be tempted to renounce the faith. "Where's God when I need Him?" you complain. Wrongly. The Lord is near to those who call upon Him. When you're suffering, you may be tempted to lash out in anger at those you love. They are convenient targets, because they are there for you. They are there because they love you. When such temptations come to you in suffering, hit the brake. Turn from evil. Steer your thoughts to the merciful Lord. Seek peace and pursue it. "Draw us to Thee. O grant that we may walk the road to heaven." Or maybe I should say, "O grant that we may drive the road to heaven. Direct our way, lest we should stray and from Thy paths be driven." Well, Katie and Carrie and Diane and Dale all made it up Gravity Hill, and we made it into the church's parking lot without going off the road into the ditch or without crashing into the church. We were all in it together. Just as God's people who have their sins washed away by the name of Christ and the Spirit of God are all on this road of mercy together. That's why the worshiping church prays, "Lord, have mercy upon us." Upon us. Not upon me as an individual in a selfish way, but upon us. The members of the worshiping church pray this prayer with one another, and we pray it for one another. I think of two people I know who have AIDS. They got it from blood transfusions, and now it's killing them. I don't know why they have to suffer so. They are fine, moral Christian men. But I know that when I worship with the church on Sunday, I often think of them when we say, "Lord, have mercy upon us." That's a prayer that the Lord of mercy will draw them and draw us all through our momentary sufferings unto Himself. I think of the folks who are retired or soon to retire and who are scared to death about their finances. Any way they figure it, the numbers always come up short. When I worship with the church on Sunday, I often think of them when we say, "Lord, have mercy upon us." In 1 Kings 17, God did show mercy to the poor widow at Zarephath, a woman who figured that she had no prospect ahead of her except starvation. God provided food for her. He did show mercy, and He'll show mercy to us in our momentary, monetary sufferings. I think of the Vietnam vets that I know. Many are baptized, believing children of God. The physical and psychological wounds they experienced are so deep, so terrifying, that I wonder, what can I do to help? One thing is to go to church on Sunday and pray, Lord, have mercy upon us, asking that the Lord of mercy will draw them and draw us all through our momentary sufferings unto Himself. Now, I don't pretend to have cataloged all the sufferings of people. I suspect I haven't mentioned the specific suffering you experience. But whatever the proper name of your affliction may be, suffering is still suffering. You may or may not know what brought this suffering into your life, but you know, and I pray that you believe, that the cross of Jesus Christ is God's attraction to draw you through your suffering unto Himself. Since the tomb of Christ is empty and He lives, you can be sure of living forever. You need only steer your thoughts and affections to Him. That means steering to the gospel and sacraments of His church. Since that is the direction, hit the brakes whenever you're tempted away from His path. All that I've said is packaged in this little prayer of the worshiping church, Lord, have mercy upon us. And He will. Against all human expectations, our car rolled up Gravity Hill. Your merciful Lord will bring you safely through your sufferings to His eternal glory. St. Paul says, He who began a good work in you will go on to finish it until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message brought to you by Lutheran Hour Ministries.